One of the top 10 most influential men on the planet.
Hey, it's Jason Capital.
Jason Capital. He is the preeminent expert.
Jason Capital has been recognized as a top 100 entrepreneur by the White House.
There's very few people in the world like Jason Capital.
He gets right to the core.
It surrounds you with an energy unlike anything you've ever experienced.
There's a ton of value, but it's presented in a really consumable way.
In my definition, the way I describe freedom is getting what you want, when you want, with who you want.
This is pretty much just an awakening to the world.
Jason Capital.
What's your favorite move?
My favorite move?
Like your go-to. Yo, what's going on, guys? Jason Capital here, and I'm hanging out with my man Grayson Boucher, aka The Professor. How we doing?
Great, man. Great. Cool.
So you just got off stage at the High Status Summit to a standing ovation also, and it was awesome. We did a full interview on stage. What did you think about the crowd?
Well, first off, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Humbled to be a part of the event. I only started coming to these events literally last year. It was like a whole new world to me, but I appreciate you letting me be a part of it. And I thought it was great. I actually didn't even know how many people were going to be at this event until I saw your IG story like yesterday. I was like, oh, this is a big event. And we got out there and I just noticed however you're leading the summit or whatever, you got these people hyped. So like you're doing a great job with that. And then I thought people, it was great feedback from, them watching the videos and responding to Q&A after and just being attentive. Like, it was great.
Yeah, the crowd is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is you talk about?
Mm-hmm. So mainly, I mean, like we said, we started out, you were asking me about my story and how we got started and everything. And then we really went into kind of what they're here for is growing their brands and social media and, things that I did to try to grow my brand. So hopefully we added a lot of value.
Yeah, you definitely did, man. Like I said, standing ovation. What do you think was what do you think was the best tip you gave everyone in the audience?
Dang, that's hard to say.
For YouTube. It could be a couple.
It's hard to say because in general, when I try to help people with their brands or starting up their social stuff, it's we talked about so many pieces to a big puzzle, a bigger puzzle that you'll see in the big picture, that it's hard to really pinpoint one thing. I think one thing is underestimated. I always talk about the quality of the video and I talk about the sound. Mm-hmm. I feel like the sound is almost more important than the visual, which is hard to even think, right? Because we're such visual beings and we always think about, when you think about a video, you don't even think about the sound. You're like, what am I going to do in this video? How crazy is it going to be? How am I going to jaw drop the audience? Or how am I going to turn that sale and make them wild by my product? And you forget that the sound of it is just as important as visual, if not more. We gave that whole... the whole parallel of Mario, Super Mario, right?
Yeah.
The game, the signature soundtrack, the coins, the one-up, mushrooms, hit the bricks. If you take away the sound and you watch Super Mario, it's not even that captivating. Yeah. So I'd say maybe the sound of the edit. Yeah.
I thought something else really interesting you said was about how when you guys make videos, it's usually the first thing is title and thumbnail.
That's another one too. Yeah. So, and it's hard too, because I don't know what level of social media knowledge these guys have, because certain things will weigh in with a different crowd, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big one. Don't even think about your video. Don't even get into conceptualizing what's going to happen in the video until you think of that title and thumbnail, because that's 80%, 90% of the reason they click. I know I am, as a consumer, I'm only clicking what's interesting on that title first and then second thumbnail. So it's we found out the hard way. We go in on this, we'll get super deep and the story, we're gonna do this and that, and we're oh yeah, how's it gonna get clicked? what I've literally got to the upload, what's the title of this video? We did that for a long time, it just made no sense. It's so I think 4 or 5 years ago, we flipped it towards we start with the title. I don't even wanna do it unless it's ultra captivating, because we just realized I've had videos that were amazing but didn't have as strong a title and they don't get as much clicks as this other video that was just short, quick, and not even that cool, but it had a crazy title.
Yep. Yep. And it's almost just because someone follows you or subscribes to you, that doesn't mean they're going to watch all your videos, does it?
Not at all. And I feel it's hard to say, but you feel like people are really even seasonal, right? Because I even know there's people that I follow that for a month or so, I'll really be tuned to their content, and then you kind of go away for a while, and then you come back, and it's like... Yep. I think what percentage of the videos of people I follow do I actually watch? What percentage? And it's probably, you know, less than 50%. I mean, I think you'll always have your certain influencers or your people that you buy from or whatever, that you like love what they got going on, so you consume more of it. But it's not 100% though.
Not at all.
And you kind of think that though, right? You think your audience is just so tuned in, and you kind of like think yours is more important than it really is. But we often find it's just like a casual view. You know, I'd say more than 50% of my stuff is really a casual view, because I have more viewership than I do subscribers. Yep. So what does that tell you? And it's important to think about too when it comes to the edit too, because it's like, okay, how do I grab these people's attention? They're just here casually.
Right. And they follow you, but they follow all these other people. And it's like, it's not like they don't not want to watch you, but they got so much going on. And hopefully you do something with the thumbnail or title that catches their attention so you can get them back in. One thing I'll tell you that Gary's team told me that they do with their thumbnails and their titles, and it's brilliant, is before they post on IG or YouTube, they'll take the video and three different titles, three different thumbnails, and they'll spend $5 or $10 on each one on a Facebook ad, see which one gets the highest click-through rate.
Wow.
That becomes the one they actually post.
That's really high level. That's really high level. Clever. I thought you were gonna say I thought you were gonna say they just set aside three and kind of like review it, and I'd be like, oh, we do that sometimes, but no, that's high level. Wow.
It's like cool, because you're sitting there, you're trying to guess what's the most captured. Well, why don't you just let the audience tell you?
It's absolutely. It goes with split testing and that whole thing, and that's how you really narrow down where your strengths are, right?
Yep.
So. Makes sense.
It was genius.
I need to take that one.
Yeah, dude, please do. Yeah. He's over there. He was rubbing his chin. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. So let's talk basketball a little bit. Cool. So what's your favorite move?
My favorite move?
Like your go-to.
My go-to for a quick bucket is really just like a look away. Like I like that. For any of you 90s or 80s hoopers, I like Steve Smith. He had this move where he did like a look away, where you kind of like hide the basketball from the opponent. I'll dribble, I put my body in the way, and I look like I'm gonna spin the other way, and I end up going this way, lose track of the ball. That's my like go-to move. If I just need a bucket, it's almost automatic, I feel like, or 90% success rate. but like my favorite moves to actually do always like changes every season. Like I try to think of a new move. So like, you know, a few months ago, it was like behind the back. It's called the teleporter. Go behind the back between the defender's legs, like set them up a certain way. And then now I actually like this new move. I don't even have a name for it, where it's like a step back where you go between my legs and I like roll it on my arms and it comes back this way and I pull up in the jumper. But I don't even have a name for it. So
we got to name it soon.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Yeah, man. Okay. Who then, like, what NBA players do you think like would be the best at streetball right now?
Oh, quite a few guys. I mean, Kyrie Irving stands out, right? He's like Uncle Drew, like his whole game and get down is street ball. A year or two guys are like Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford, to me, is one of the best handles of all time. Just one of the most versatile. Same with Kyrie. But then, I mean, even guys like, you know, Damian Lillard or who else? I'm not thinking of guys. Steph Curry. Oh, Kevin Durant actually played street. Like, a lot of people don't know, he played at Berry Farms like a bunch of summers. Like,
really?
He played street ball. He may not have been like the most flashiest, but like, he'd go dominate a game.
Of course.
Like, Rucker, right? He had that game where he had like 8-9 threes or something like that. But, I mean, so many guys now with like great handles that could kind of like fit that style. It's hard to even.
You think players today have better handles than they did like 80s, 90s, Isaiah Thomas days?
100%. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that game always improves. I think the game changes, right? So, like, today there's less physicality than there was in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, a fact, right? Because the guys are guarding Michael Jordan. They had, like, their hand on his hip, which is kind of, like, crazy to think, like, right? I mean, like, Ron Harper was, like, one of the best, like, guard defenders back in the day. That dude's, like, a big dude. Like, if he had a hand on the hip, like, how hard would that be to score or get around him? Like, I mean, you're basically, like, controlling him with your hand. So... like, LeBron doesn't face the kind of defense that, like, Michael Jordan would have faced. But the athletes, you know, the guys are a lot bigger. And then I think the skills improve. And I think the referees are more lax now. So that's another thing. You know, James Harden does all these sidesteps and double step backs and different things like that. That wasn't even allowed. That wasn't even legal 10, 15 years ago. So that's an example of the game changing. But I do think the skills have gotten better because skill training has gotten better.
Yep.
Access to watch great players on, like, now it's like one click away. Before we had to buy like the VHS tapes
and, totally, yeah,
you know, And when Mixtape Volume 1 was on VHS, I remember I was watching Michael Jordan Come Fly With Me. And like, you couldn't just watch basketball content all day like you can now. So I think all those things contributed.
Yep. Yeah. Best handles ever.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Wow. Zach and I were having that conversation. It's hard to say. I think, I think you got to put, it's weird because like, say like a guy like Kyrie Irving, he's like one of the most skilled basketball players I've ever seen, right? And his handle is so versatile because he has spins, he has crossovers, he gets out of situations. But then you got a guy like Allen Iverson who may not have quite been that versatile with it, but he probably was like a better scorer. And then he had the crossover, which created more space than any move that like Kyrie did, right? Like that crossover created like 5 or 6 feet of space, which is crazy, right? Well, Kyrie, he'll create space, but probably not like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Allen Iverson was the guy I came up under handle-wise. And then Kyrie is kind of like the best handles for today. But, I mean, I think you got to put Jamal Crawford up there. I think you got to put, Pistol Pete has to be up there for the innovation. I was just telling somebody the other day, what's interesting, we were brainstorming a possible documentary for Netflix, and it was talking about the evolution of like flashy basketball, not even necessarily street ball, but like where did the flair of the game actually come from? Mm-hmm. And I think it's very interesting to me that there's a lineage between where the Globetrotters started to Pistol Pete. Skip to My Lou on Al Mixer Volume 1 when he was doing those fake passes like over the ball and all that. That was Pistol Pete. So he told me that that's Pistol Pete's inspiration. Nobody ever talked about that. Mm. And there's a lineage from Skip to My Lou to me. I wouldn't exist without Hot Sauce and Skip to My Lou. And then there's a lineage from me to like even like T. Jazz and some of the influencers today. And in the NBA, like Kyrie followed me for a long time, you know, maybe before he was even in college. You know, Westbrook, some people follow. So like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think it's interesting, this lineage, and like a lot of those guys along the way probably need to be on that list. Like I said, Isaiah Thomas, because him in the 80s, I mean, what standard did he have to go off? He definitely had the best handles of that era. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about one, it's like, dang, I mean, it's hard to say, but I think Allen Iverson, Pistol Pete, Kyrie Irving, these guys got to be in the conversation, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's impossible to answer.
It's tough too because
I'm well aware. Yeah.
If I said Kyrie Irving had the best handles of all time, it's like they're gonna be like, well, he wasn't as good as Allen Iverson. You know what I mean? Or all these things. So like, it's a really tough question too. Yeah.
All right. I'll give you another tough question then.
Sure.
Who is the best player that you've ever played against?
Oh, the best player that I ever played against. The hardest player is the guard. Some of my street ball teammates were the hardest players to guard. You know, Bone Collector was one of the hardest players I ever had to play against. Who else? So Skip was the best player I had played against, like in the N1 days. And then, like, I worked out like Jrue Holiday and his brothers, like for a summer. So like I always said that like Jrue Holiday was the best defender I ever played against. Somewhere in there, like some of my teammates, and then. If you take the pros, I'd say Jrue Holiday's like the best pro player I ever played against.
So when Jrue is guarding you, mm-hmm. any of your stuff, can you pull it off?
Yeah, I guess some moves off, but very challenging because once you get him on a move, his recovery is nuts. You got mind you, he's like 6'4", 6'5".
Super lanky, yeah.
Yeah, and so like I find myself like having to do like 3 or 4 moves to get a shot off, whereas like if that's in a 5-on-5 context, that's not really a good shot, you know what I mean? But a lot of that workout that we were doing like 2-on-2 full court stuff, and it was really predicated on 1v1
yeah.
type stuff. But I get my moves off. Like that's really the whole secret or sleeper to my brand. Like when I play against NBA players, like it runs, a lot of guys don't really want to guard because they're like, hey, I don't want to chase this guy or go for all that. But people wouldn't know that because I don't film in those places because it's not really socially acceptable.
Sure.
You know, NBA players don't want to be on the gram or in those situations unless it's like an exhibition game and it's fair game. But I'm not going to bring my cameras to like,
let me break your ankles.
D1 players or NBA guys, because it'd be frowned upon. They wouldn't even want you in that gym because most of the time it's private runs. So mm-hmm. when you film, it's like a public run. But that's why a lot of people, they're like, why don't you get some NBA players at college? But it's like, that wouldn't even be socially acceptable. Like, and it would look weird, right? Because you got guys who are NBA players making millions of dollars, and then here comes the influencer guy with his whole camera crew. It's like, it's out of balance.
Yeah.
And it would look upon as disrespectful to that crew. So, yeah, so anyway, cool. A little bit of context.
Totally. All right, so then the last question then. Where, obviously you kill it on YouTube, you kill it on Instagram. Where do you see YouTube in particular going over the next few years? How do you see it evolving?
Well, I hope it goes forever, but I think that it'll be around for at least another 5 to 10 years. And my hope would be longer, but you never know. Life is so crazy, right? I mean, if Google stops wanting to do ads, you know, and they find a different route that's more profitable or something that's more scalable, more convenient for them, they could technically just fold it up, right? That's why I always feel like it's a blessing to have YouTube, because they don't have to give us that, right? I mean, it is a win-win, right? It's a win for them, all the ad money that comes in. But what I do know is, like, when I went to the YouTube Creator Summit like a year or two ago, they invited like top 100 creators. Not that I was top 100, but I think it was the top like ad-friendly creators got to go to the summit. And we got to speak with Susan, the CMO or CEO, I'm not sure, of YouTube, and she would answer our questions like directly, and everybody was there were really hyped and excited about the next few years. And so I felt like it was still kind of like young. I feel like YouTube's still kind of young, even though it has been around since 2004. I feel like they're like young and on the up and up and really like trying to expand on a whole new level still. So I was glad to see that it felt like there was like longevity there. So if I make my guess, I'd say at least 5 to 10 more years.
At least, yeah. I mean, it's crazy, man. You see people at nighttime now, they don't watch TV anymore. They watch YouTube.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I watch more YouTube than I do TV. And I think that's because like sports talk is easy there. I watch other vloggers to try to get concept or edit inspiration. And it's so convenient. But I do think that it seems like streaming is still king for viewing, just because there's always a demand for quality. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of YouTubers put out ghetto content, you know, whether it's like straight from the, not that it's ghetto or bad, but you know, it's not as appealing to the eye to watch something that's not edited really well with great sound.
Or the ear, like you were saying.
Yeah, not as appealing to the ear or the eye. Yeah. So I think streaming is kind of the future for the top dog in viewing. And also because people like the couch, the living room. You know, the living room's never going to go out of style because it's so comfortable. You got a big screen.
And it keeps getting more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More comfortable, great sound. You're on your lazy boy. Like,
your food, hit a button. You know, Uber, hit a button. Like, you never have to go anywhere.
Exactly.
Your groceries, hit a button. Like,
totally. And I do wonder, though, I do think the streaming and the smartphone will become more synonymous, though. Like, right now, AirPlay, like, you want to put YouTube on your TV screen. You can do it, but it's not quick, right? It's not like sometimes you got to do it and it's like, oh, it didn't work. It takes a little bit. Yeah. I think it'll become more synonymous to where like all streaming platforms start on the phone and then like throw them on a TV is just like one button away. It's easier than AirPlay right now. But where does that put YouTube? I think it's still the number one mobile, you know, mobile viewing.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And what is it? It's like the search engine of the internet, and that's where it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. The fact it's a search engine, you can just like learn anything, you know, one search away is big. But my hope is it would be around longevity. It's really hard to say, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if it goes down, the thing is, I think the most important thing is you have an audience that loves you. And so no matter where, whatever, it doesn't matter what the platform is.
Still carries over.
You'll be there and they'll come with you, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. That's why I also tell people it's important to be on all the platforms at least a little bit.
Are you on TikTok?
Like, I'm on TikTok. I only have 3 videos.
What do you think about TikTok?
I think that I have a little different view than some other people. I don't know that TikTok will stand the test of time, only because it doesn't offer you anything Instagram doesn't already offer, except for like the whole like side-by-side viewing. But like Instagram could add that feature.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's being funded by a massive amount of investment out of China, and I feel like it's only curated through the investment. But then again, some people told me that a lot of the viewers are in India and overseas where they're not familiar with other platforms. So maybe that becomes India's Instagram and it does stay relevant because they never were familiar with Instagram to begin with, and India is the same amount of people as China, which is like half the world, like a third of the world's in India, a third's in China, and then the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, but I'm not as sold on as some people, to be honest. I feel like it's, I don't even know if it's bots or whatever. I feel like it's too easy to blow up, though.
Yeah. I personally, I'm not a huge believer in
technology. Oh, you're not? Okay. Yeah. Everybody I talked to was like, really is the wave? But I just feel like Instagram could add those features that it has in a second, and then like it's an equal, and then it really just becomes about like, are those countries that didn't have other platforms, do they grow into it? It's like their Instagram, it just sticks. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Instagram. It's mine.
Yeah, dude.
That's my spot, man.
For yeah, sure.
Cool. All right, well, dude, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Again, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you and everyone else. We will see you guys soon. Peace.